And you might like to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians and chapter 4. And you might, as we've been looking at the beginning of our little series of looking at understanding our stewardship. And our stewardship has to do with God's marvelous time from the crucifixion of Christ to the beginning of the rapture. And unknown in God's Word, apart from the New Testament, we don't know anything about all that we're supposed to be responsible for. So our stewardship, as we share together. Chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as ministers. And we share the word minister has to do with under rower, like on the ship, down below the deck, all the rowers pulled and rowed and moved the ship along. They could never see where they're going. They didn't see where they're going. They weren't up to see anything. They're down below, just doing the job. So that's the word, that a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and as stewards, household managers, we are given the stewardship. Israel was given the stewardship of the law. We are given the stewardship of the grace of God. And the grace of God involves the mysteries. Israel may not have done, did not do, has not done, did not do better, did not do a good job with their stewardship. The church has not done a good job of its stewardship. The mysteries of God, the mysteries of the Word of God that we're looking at are a mystery to the church. The church is supposed to be the custodian of the mysteries, and the church doesn't even know the mysteries. So that's where we are. Therefore, it is found that a man, it is required of a man to be found faithful, to be worthy of confidence, you can rely upon him. He's been given a stewardship, and you can stand back, and the stewardship will be carried out. Now, keeping that in mind, and where we are, so God's word, the faith, the body of truth to be believed, God's word, is so that we can be strengthened in our understanding, so that we can be faithful. And the word faithful in verse 2, faithful is a way of life. It isn't just to start and be faithful. It isn't to finish and be faithful. It's the whole ball. It's all your life. You got saved for a wonderful commission, to a wonderful assignment to represent Christ in the outworking of his wonderful will, which involves the mysteries. And that's your assignment. And where are we going to get to have that faithfulness to be like that? We're going to have to get it from God's word. We're going to have to get it from God's faithfulness. Because our faithfulness, no offense to anybody, our faithfulness is not very good. We just aren't able. Our old nature does what it does, and we just aren't able to be consistent. And even so, God has given us his word so that we can be faithful. And where are we to find the faithfulness of God? In God's word. So as we read And as we look at God's word in its wonderful way, God's going to help us understand, be encouraged. So that's what I want to try to get a little bit, if I can. So go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 1. And in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, you'd remember, which we touched on a little bit, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, God is faithful. Now, 1 Corinthians 4, 2, were to be faithful. God is faithful. And that's what we're trying to lock on to. The only way we're going to get even come close is we are going to look to God who's faithful. And in verse 9, faithful. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we've been called into the wonderful fellowship of his Son. A wonderful relation, a personal relationship. He makes God the Son, makes it very personal to himself and to the Father. So we are to have this unique fellowship, this unique communion, this unique partnership, not a partnership, but a participation. And it's very practical, profitable, and precious and personal. So this fellowship we're to have with God. Yeah, all of those and much more. So, and we're to go and possess that privileged position, that privileged relationship. Now, going back yesterday into the past, Israel, when they started out, they were given this privilege of just representing God, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But because of the law, they didn't. They didn't believe, didn't rest in God. So therefore, we share. But keep in mind now, Exodus chapter 19, you have to turn there. Exodus 19, verses 4 through 6. God made Israel personally his prized possession. He made them above all nations of the earth. They're his, like none other. And thus, they stand out in the highest of heaven. And there's no one competes with them as a nation. No nation competes with them. That's their assignment. To show God's wonderful person in a wonderful way. And they were given that assignment, given that wonderful, wonderful privilege. And you know from Deuteronomy 4 and 6 through 8, 4, their assignment as a nation was to go to be to all the nations a what? A wonderful example in order to educate the nations that God was to be worshipped, his government, his rightful rule, and all idolatry and all their system of politics and religion was out of place. So therefore, that was their assignment. It was a wonderful assignment that they were to have, and they were to exercise that assignment. Yeah, and to learn. And so in the process, remember, as doing all of that, so their heart was to be, have Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4, 5, and 6. They were to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. They were to take his word in their heart and rest in God's wonderful, all that he said, and all that he has already done, and all that he's going to do, to rest in that, and God would be faithful to do and to be everything he says to the heart that's trusting him. He will be to the human heart that's resting in him, everything that he said he is. Period. So therefore, if we can, keeping that in mind, we'll do it a little bit, just to keep you. First Samuel, as you know, 1 Samuel chapter 13. And 1 Samuel chapter 13, and picking up if I may. And you'll remember it many times. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee, King Saul, and all of that. So, you know, God's looking at the heart. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart. And you know from chapter 16 in that God looked at this, found a man of the sons of Jesse, and Samuel said, listen, God isn't looking at your outside. He's looking at your inside. He wants to see where your heart is, not where your head is. Where's your heart? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, not with all thy head. Where are you? This heart's the center of you. Uses the head, uses the feet. The heart does. The heart's the center. Now, having said that, over if I can be to 1 Kings. And in 1 Kings, chapter 11, and just to pick it up so you see it. 1 Kings, chapter 11, in the days of King Solomon, when he's going downhill, as he's not doing good at all, verse 4, chapter 11, verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect, complete, whole with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. David's the example. Not Solomon. In fact, the reason Solomon had 40 years of peace, and God just said it, because of it, you're David. Why did the sons of Noah get in? Because of Noah. Noah, the blessing, the one man, but overflowed. Now, keeping that in mind, a lot to that. So now, in the light of it, David's heart was perfect toward God. And God honored it. God's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to be faithful. If he finds the heart, he's going to give the heart the information. The information is to be trusted. And when you trust the information and believe it, you're encouraged. Over to 2 Samuel. And in 2 Samuel, if I can, you'll remember David. David is given the wonderful Davidic covenant. And picking it up, you can, in chapter 7, 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 6. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house, God said, is to David, gone to David. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. David wanted to build the temple, but God wasn't, it wasn't for David, it was for Solomon to build it, not David. But God, not Solomon isn't the center. David's the center. Solomon didn't have a heart for God, not like David. No, David's the one. Yeah, that's where you're going to have a stewardship, the outworking of God's wonderful plan for Israel, and thus the Davidic covenant. So that's what you have, 2 Samuel chapter 7, and in verse 13. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of children of men. But my mercy, hang on to that word, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Then thine house, verse 16, and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now, this is David just listening to this. According to all these words and according to all this vision, did Nathan speak unto David? Now, and having said that, David. Now the point, David, you just heard all of these wonderful things that God was going to do in your future. You're going to be a king. You're going to have all the privileges as a prince. So, verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, after Nathan told him all this, David went into the temple to listen before God. And King David then sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? No. God, you're telling me something wonderful. Who am I? I'm nobody. Now hang on. God's going to do all this. Now, David, you got to be faithful. So, David, what are you going to do? Sitting before God, he's encouraged. And thus, as you go down and keep reading, I'll keep reading along in verse 15, verse 21. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, but thou hast done all these great things to make thy servant know them. That's right. So God, you've told us, you gave David his word. You gave David the word, and in the process, and you keep reading. Then you slide down, if I can, slide down over to verse 28. Well, no, I'm going to read verse 27. For thou, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer. And the prayer, David, what are you saying? God, you're going to be faithful. And I'm trusting your faithfulness so that I can hang in there and have everything you have in mind. I'm trusting your faithfulness. Verse 28. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true. Thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. So David, are you going to hang in there? David's going to hang in there. God, you said it, and I'm so excited, I'm nobody. Who am I, God, to have such things? But do it, God. I'm looking for you. I'm going to be faithful. I'm hanging in there. I'm going to be trusting you. I'm going to be worthy of confidence. I'm going to be worthy of trusting. I'm going to hang in there, God. Do it. God said it. Do it, God. See, you read it. God said it. I'm going to do it. So you're going to do it, God? Yes, yes. Okay. Now, having said that little bit, in God's wonderful faithfulness and mercy, now to see that in that which you know, over to Psalm 89. And in Psalm 89, picking up, if I may, and you will note, and I'm going to go through it. Just it's loaded, but I just want to. This would be in the second temple, Ezra. They build the temple. It's never like Solomon's, not like that. And, but they needed to be mindful of that the God of David, who has this wonderful plan, is going to be faithful. And here we are, Ezra, Nehemiah, etc. Here we are. So God, and that's the Psalm 89. Watch it, listen to it. You know what? Just pick it up. You can't miss it. David, here's David. Here's God. He's going to be faithful. David knows he's going to be faithful. David's going to be faithful. Therefore, Psalm 89, Maskil is the number of 13 psalms, I think. And Maskil means understanding. Only 13, there's certain psalms, Psalm 32, etc. Maskil, understand. They're written to be an encouragement to the remnant of Jews over the history. You want to, all the psalms, and then there's the Maskil psalms that drive home a point for understanding, to be able to understand. Therefore, Maskil of Ethan, the Ezraite. Now watch it, you follow it, it's wonderful. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Mercy, faithfulness. Verse 2. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. Verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Verse 4, thy seed will I establish forever, and will build up thy throne, O to all generations, Selah. Verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be head in reverence of all them that are about him. Verse 8, the Lord of hosts, who is strong, is a strong Lord like unto thee. Who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. So God, there's no one like you. You're going to hang in there. And how are we doing it? We're trusting that which you have in mind. We only have a little temple. It isn't very much. And the people aren't very much. And the problems are many. But be that as it may. Verse 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Verse 28, you got to get the thought. Thy mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Wow. And God's going to go and do what he does in the way that he does it. And in the process, verse 31, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, Then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes, and so the captivities, Babylon and Assyria. Verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. I had a promise. I told them what I was going to do. I'm going to do it. I may have to clobber them. I may have to put them on the shelf, like they're still on the shelf today. I may have to do all that, but I'm going to be consistent. And if you just hung in there, you know I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. That's what I want to do. So, picking up verse 29, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Verse 32. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. I said it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be consistent. And you are able to trust my consistency that I'm going to do it. And so you know I'm going to do it. And you thus go along with me as I do it, being faithful. So, verse 34 again, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I spoken by my holiness, that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. No, verse 37, it shall be established forever as the moon, as a faithful witness in heaven. God said you can count on it all the way, you can count on it all the way to the end. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. How am I going to do it? I'm going to tell you I'm going to be faithful. As long as the sun, the moon, go over to remember Jeremiah chapter 33. We were there. And in chapter 33, keeping in mind, picking up, please, in 33, in verse 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform the good thing which I promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time when I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Verse 16, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, etc. And you're going to keep reading as you go going. And sliding down in verse 19. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should not be day and night in their season. Then, verse 21, then may also my covenant be broken with David and my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites and the priest, my ministers. Verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered. That's all of the galaxies. You can't number them. Neither the sand of the sea measured, and you can't measure the sand of the sea. A, let alone the beach, let alone the ocean, let alone 7 miles down in the ocean. You're never going to measure it. You're never going to count the stars, and you're never going to count the sand. Because I put them there so that you'd know I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do for David. I'm going to do it. Why? because David happens to be a man after my own heart. And David's going to be faithful. And I am going to take from David, Jesse, David. I'm going to take Jesse from David. I'm going to take Mary. I'm going to have what? I'm going to have the son of David. I told you, he'd never like someone to sit in his throne. He's going to sit in his throne. Who is the son of David? The son of David, okay? You got that part in a little bit. Over to Luke chapter 18. And in Luke chapter 18, now picking up, please, that you would remember it. And it came to pass, 1835. And it came to pass, the day was come nigh unto Jerusalem, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And sliding it down. Picking up in the process in verse 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. He's persistent, consistent. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou have me to do? What shall I do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, as you know, page. I won't know till I turn the page. Said unto him in the most wonderful, wonderful way, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. All the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. What are you looking for? Well, in David, what do you got? David, the mercy. And what was the blind man thinking? Over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And you will note, and this is an invitation to all the world to be saved, Isaiah chapter 55. Everyone that thirsteth, verse 1, etc. And so therefore, I'll read it. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which satisfieth not? In other words, if you just look to me, you'd have it all in a good way. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3, incline your ear, and come unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. What kind of covenant? Even the sure mercies of David. I'm going to do it. I told him what I'm going to do. David had a heart for me. And David represented the Lord Jesus Christ, who has a heart for God. And our Lord Jesus Christ provides mercy. God does. That's what we need. and going to be faithful stewards, you have to have mercy. So, and just to tie that together in your mind, Psalm 136, wonderful. Psalm 136, picking up my man. And you'll note, if I can, and there are 26 verses, okay? And just let me give you the, you'd already read it, you want to just be encouraged. There's nowhere God said, if you listen, follow my word, follow my grace and mercy to Israel, and what are you going to find? I've been consistently faithful in all that I said. Israel's to be the top nation. Israel's on the shelf, maybe, but Israel's going to get on the top. And I may have to judge Israel, but I can always be counted, Psalm 89, to be faithful. No matter what, I never stop telling you what I was going to do. And I'm going to do it. So what do we line up with God's faithfulness like David? So therefore, Psalm 136, we'll give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods. For his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords. For his mercy endureth forever. To him that who alone doeth great wonders. For his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. For his mercy endureth forever. And on and on and on and on and on and on. All the way to the end. 28. O give thanks unto the God of heaven. For his mercy endureth forever. All of Israel's history is God being merciful, being consistently faithful by way of mercy to help them. So, having said that, now for us, just getting that flavor, God's given his word, so that we can be found faithful. Now, picking up, please, over in the book of Romans, and tying that together in the light of the mystery. And you remember it. Here's Romans in chapter 11. Picking up, it has to do with Israel being put on the shelf and God raising up the church. The church is what? It's a house for God to show his wonderful son, the body to show his son in this time of grace. That's what it's for. And that's a mystery for God to show his son in such human beings. And the human beings, when you look at the human being, you only see the flesh, flesh and blood. But in their heart is the Almighty God. And that's all he's showing to the world, that he saves whosoever's vessels of dust to show his deity. Awesome. The mystery. Now, and therefore, chapter 11, verse 11, chapter 11, Romans, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled, the Jews, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. So the whole point is, this time, and remember this time of grace, Deuteronomy chapter 4, Israel is going to have to turn around and repent. When is Israel going to turn around and repent? It's going to take tribulation. And the great tribulation coming up is what's going to turn them. They're going to get whipped and beaten. And they're going to have it, like it is now even, anti-Semitism. There, all of it's there. It's going to be. Now, that's what's going to happen. And that God, you told us that. But in order to provoke them and get them ready for the tribulation, if you would. I'm going to provoke them and take whosoever's and save them. I'm going to save Jews and Gentiles and put them both, Jews, circumcision and uncircumcision. I'm going to put them both in my body, in my son, and show them. Because they didn't believe. They didn't do the job. But I'm going to show them. That's what's happening. So what are you doing? We're supposed to be a pain in the neck to Israel. The world's a pain in the neck. We aren't against Israel. We aren't going to, no, sir. You won't find us throwing, no, we're friends of Israel. No question. But the world isn't. The world isn't. They hate Israel. Israel is a threat to them. What kind of threat? Israel is going to be the nation and be the nation over all nations by way of God in Christ. That is unacceptable to us nations in the world system. We do not want God in our rule and reign of darkness. We do not want God to reign over us. Therefore, the world, picking up verse 12, 11, 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So when they really get saved, boy, are they going to get saved. Yeah. But, so here we are going, and as you know, keep reading, you know, you're familiar with it, chapter 11, and as you get down the chapter, and you come on, if you can, I'll read verse 22 simply. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in this his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Etc., etc. Starting in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, have you that you should be ignorant of this mystery. That's what we're representing. That's right. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part, not totally, because many Jews can get saved, blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. God's going to do his most wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. The Jews being put aside, the gospel open to everybody. Verse 31, mercy. Even so, have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. So God's being merciful to us to show Israel he'll be merciful to them. And so we're the objects of mercy. And therefore, verse 31, even so have these also now but not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. Why? That he might have mercy upon all. God's wonderful, wonderful kindness is wonderfully, wonderfully worked out in a most wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderful, wonderful way. So God's going to be doing what he does in the way that he does it, and God does it in his mercy and grace. So therefore, what are we doing? We're going to go and represent God in faithfulness. So where am I going to get this? God, where am I going to get this? God, Hebrews. And what are we going to do? And Hebrews in chapter 4. And Hebrews in chapter 4. Pick me up, please, if I can. Hebrews. If I can find it. That four, you know it. For we come boldly to the throne. Chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. What for? That we may obtain mercy, receive mercy, and find grace, discover God's wonderful grace to help us in the time of need. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to keep looking to you. For what? Your mercy and grace. Are you faithful? Uh-huh. You're going to be faithful. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. We're to be found faithful in that stewardship. Now, how am I going to do that? Well, God, I'm going to have to look to your faithfulness and to your word, to outwork your word in your wonderful way as only you can. So, God, you're going to have to do what you do in the way that you do it. And, God, what can I say? So, in your marvelousness, over to Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. And you remember. Now you know Hebrews in chapter 12, or chapter 11, and verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, a payer in full, to everyone that seeks him, searches him out. Seek me with all your heart, he said, and you'll find me. So God, what are we doing? Well, we're going to look to you, God. And without faith, it's impossible to please you. Now, God, so what am I supposed to have faith in? Believe that I am. Believe that he is. Without faith, you better be believing I am who I am. And the more you rest in who I am and rest in my word, you're going to find that my faithfulness is going to stir your heart in a most wonderful way. Mark chapter 11. And in Mark chapter 11, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, four words, have faith in God. Let God be your inspiration for your perspiration. You go forward. Let God be your inspiration. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Have faith in God. In your faithfulness. So God, we're custodians, stewardships. Our stewardship is of your wonderful truth, of your wonderful person, of our wonderful relationship. Israel had it, but they didn't enjoy it. And God, unfortunately, too much of church history finds the church believers never enjoying it, never enjoying their high exalted position. It's the highest in excelsis Deo, the highest. Your position is in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't get any higher. You can't get any higher. Israel had a wonderful place to be his nation. You have a wonderful position to be his. And therefore, his faithfulness, have faith in God. Let him be your expectation, your inspiration. Let him read God's word. He's consistently going to be everything he said he is. And so as you do that, you're going to found yourself being a little more faithful in just trusting, getting out of bed, going to work, going to school. The ills, the aches, the problems, everything you got to face, you're going to be a little more consistent, a little more. And the more you do it, the more you're going to find God's faithful outworking of his will in your life. That's what you want. you want God's outworking, then you have to trust God's faithfulness and be faithful in his faithfulness for the outworking. No. What's he going to do? How's it going to work out? You have to trust him. Then give him credit. Yeah. So, I trust you a little bit. We'll look to the Lord in prayer and remember the coming up days with the, if the Lord tarries and we live, coming up with the choir and Sunday and the weather and everything else, all the people coming and going, buying and selling, doing what they do, that many might turn to the Lord and be saved. And a Merry Christmas isn't going to be very merry very long unless you get saved. You got to get saved. You want to have a Merry Christmas, it only lasts a day. But you want to get real merry, then you got to get saved. And then it never ends. Never ends. Yeah. Well, because why? God said you got all bad days, but when you receive me, you receive the gospel. I died, was buried, and rose again. And I am going to be your God now. And now. Because there is no tomorrow. Everything is now to God. Everything is now.